Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts, getting you ready for a new week in podcast time, and this is how. For many podcasts, I have suggested we're at a crossroads. It's the end of an era, politically, socially, economically, at least in my view, and I found a smattering of stories that reflect that, so we're going to talk about that in this podcast. And finally, a simple question about that that's been on my mind lately. And that is, how tough are you? How tough are you and how ready are you and I to deal with what is coming in terms of a new era in podcast 435, the Bob Davis Podcasts? Now, in this podcast, I'm going to turn on the washing machine because my neighbors are doing some laundry and I can hear that dryer over here. So I'm going to join in with my washing machine. So it's going to drastically change the sound in here, but it covers up all the planes landing and other stuff. And I do enjoy that sort of industrial sound of the washing machine doing its work because it reminds me of history. It reminds me of my grandfather's house. And we're going to talk about the future and history and toughness. And we're going to talk about history a little bit. And as you know, history demonstrates one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. People, who acquire property generally become pretty wealthy. This is a pretty standard thing. Now, what's going on these days is many people continue to rent while waiting to purchase their first home or to move up to their next home. I just read a piece this weekend in the Star Tribune that talked about people renting in the suburbs. In the last 5 years or so, there's been many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time and houses renovated by these fly-by-night house flippers. So when you're looking for a house, it's about negotiating the risk. And in order to do that, you need real estate professionals that understand the market. Also, interest rates have been at historically low levels for many years. There's more pressure on the Fed to increase rates, and they may do so in December. So this is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home. And to do that, I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcast. Prideofhomes.com, of course, is a husband-wife licensed real estate agent team and real estate investors with expertise to share with you. So here's what you do. Reach out and take a moment to talk to Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com and find out what they can show you if you're looking for homes in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, up in the North Metro corridor. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today and find out more at prideofhomes.com, or you can click on the banner of Eric and Aram at the top of the bobdavispodcast.com. It will take you there, or just call them, 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, let me get the clothes that I wanted to put through the wash out here. I got to go through this basket, and then I got to go over here to the bathroom and grab the stuff I was going to wash. So let me grab that, get that out here. Put it in the wash. Get the wash going. I've done this before. You know, I don't mind. I just like the sound of that washer. That's my big thing. So let me get things started here. Get the detergent in. And get everything going. And then get it all in there. Shut the door. Well, if I've said it once, I've said it scores of times over the last 2 or 3 years, maybe even longer, that we are living through the end of an era. Now, ends of eras don't happen quickly. They take a long time to process. So this is something that we're just living through currently. And you'll hear people refer to this as the end times. You know, if you were to ask people, do you think it's the end times? A lot of people would say they feel it is. And I think in some way, shape, or form, it is, because we're living through the end of the industrial era, really. In spite of all this talk about the electronic revolution and the second and third industrial revolutions, we have, in the last 100 years, lived through an industrial revolution in the United States in a huge way. So we're coming to the end of things as they were constructed, as they solidified. At the very latest in the 1940s and 50s in the United States. So certainly it's been visible and thought about through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now into the 21st century. It's the end of an era socially, economically, and politically. And, you know, just describing the end of an era in each of those sectors of our world today would take a podcast for each or two, and that might not even do. In fact, I know it wouldn't do it justice. So just to look at these different ideas socially, our ideas of fairness, justice, religion, communication, socialization, morality, money, even the nature of reality are changing. Just think of the impact of social media, autonomous machines, smart software, smartphones, and new entertainment options like games and 3D type experiences like Oculus are having and will have in the near and far future. Economically, these old systems that have been in existence in this country since the first part of the 1900s are giving way to new and all of the older 19th and 20th century industry and creating a new world in the digital media communications and software world, plus all the carryovers in science, in areas like biology and medicine and chemistry. Fill in the blank. I can't do a complete list for this podcast. Politically, this all has a huge impact because there's new ways to communicate, new communicators, as well as new ways to analyze and persuade and cover political campaigns, issues in politicians. And we have new issues as well. We have different sectors of the economy battling each other. Originally, back in the day, it was agriculture and commerce, big cities versus rural. These days, it's digital versus old industry. And this is wreaking havoc, and politicians wreaking havoc with the process that we deal with in terms of electing our leaders and how they function in ways that make it unfamiliar to people raised up just to, 20 or 30 years ago. One of the reasons that I've started a new series of podcasts called New Thinking is this. It's this upheaval that we're experiencing, which I think is only going to get worse. I think the transition from what we know as the old world is happening abruptly and perhaps violently in the sense that displaced people aren't going to fully understand what has happened to them. And some of it is actually already happening when you have 64% of the working age population out of the workforce and most new jobs being created in industry highly vulnerable to displacement and disruption with robotics and autonomous machines, as I mentioned, fast food, janitorial work, services, things of that nature. And our success and survival in this new world, especially during a period of upheaval and change, depends, I think, on toughness, how tough we are and how tough we're going to have to be to survive and thrive in this changing world. So some signs of the time that I found in my little usual, sort of trip through the news of the day. So Tesla recently updated the software in their existing and sold cars, in other words, the cars that are on the line and the ones that are for sale and the ones that have been sold, to enable almost completely autonomous driving capabilities. And I read it and I was like, well, okay, maybe. But then, I just want people to know this is what's unique about this. And they've been able to do this all along. This was an update not done at a factory, but downloaded into the cars from the company. Updates, just like your computer or phone or the apps that you use that update automatically. And people are already uploading. And this is what was fascinating to me. Videos onto YouTube, which show the cars driving themselves in heavy traffic on the freeway with the successes and failures associated with something like this. So the whole article I read was a whole long discussion of liabilities and everything else. But if you think of current technology as being in the Model T stage where we are, or the 1920 stage compared to where we are now. For example, in the 1920s, a washing machine, you hear this washing machine in the background, they didn't have a spin cycle, but when the first washing machines were created, they had those rollers, but then it was a washing machine down inside, and that was a big thing to have, and I'll tell you a little story. My grandfather, my grandmother wanted a washing machine, which, by the way, was still around when I was a little kid. I used to go into her basement and she would do the wash down there. And it was an electric washing machine, and then to push the water out of the clothes instead of a spin cycle, you turn this thing on and the rollers would roll the clothes through, and she would roll them through several times, and then she could hang them up to dry. And that was big technology in the 1920s. Now, I'm sitting here looking at a washing machine, which you can hear is running. It does basically the same thing that that machine did, but it's a new version of that machine. So if you think of the Model T stage in terms of technology compared to where we are now and where we're going to be, and you realize that technology shifts occur over much shorter timelines these days, news stories that represent these little glimpses of the way things might be are essentially or could be harbingers of very quick changes over the next 10 or 20 years. So you're watching this YouTube video of these guys in the Tesla, and it's driving in heavy traffic on the freeway in Portland, and you begin to think pretty soon all the other cars that are on that freeway in the future are going to have the same technology, and they're going to be able to operate without a driver. And then that's going to really significantly change things. So when I talk about something happening relatively quickly, we're talking 5, 10, 20, 25 years, which if you've lived for any length of time, you know really isn't very long. If you're a kid, if you're 16, you think 20 years or 25 years is a lifetime. And it is. For a 16-year-old. But if you're 50, you know, or 45, you realize 25 years is not that long of a time. And it's much faster. It will take even less time if the Western economy starts to grow at a faster pace, or if developing economies start to grow at a faster pace. If we can initiate faster growth, we will see technology move forward at a very rapid pace, or at least a pace that we can tolerate. And this is where you get in to all of these social problems and upheavals related to technology growth. I think it was in Bloomberg View this weekend, an admittedly sunny article. Well, actually, it wasn't very sunny, about driverless cars and how driverless cars are coming. And it talks about all these kinds of upheavals that will happen environmentally and with people moving to the suburbs and everything else. But they're saying that driverless cars will come much faster than anyone realizes, and they will drastically change how we work, where we work, and where we live. For an example, Uber is already prepared to change over from the driver's technology to having cars that drive people where they are autonomously, because their biggest the biggest expense that Uber has is that they share a lot of that revenue with the drivers. So chief among the reasons for this is the technology drastically lowers costs for moving people from point A to point B, just as I described with Uber. So when you're driving in a car that's being driven, you can do work in the car, you have higher levels of productivity, stress and risk is reduced, and with lower transportation costs, people can live further away from work, and they can live further away from where they live, work, and play. So it's possible that cities become something that is a really different kind of purpose, and exurbs and suburbs become the place where people live. And if you think that that's wrong, it's very interesting, because what's going to happen, first of all, is that another few effects of a driverless car is they will create pressure for urban sprawl, because you will not have to live close to where you work for a lot of other reasons too. And this is where these technologies start to come together. It'll negatively affect public transportation, because it's so much cheaper than people paying for a car. And if you don't think that you can consider all this technology without all the other tech coming online, you know, I read somewhere that the average automobile isn't actually used that much at all, which makes it an extremely unproductive expense. And if you didn't have to buy a car, well, that's a lot of money freed up for other things. But as communications technology improves also, one wonders why you would even go into an office to begin with. So when you start to look at all the communications technology and 3D viewing technology, 3D video, things like Oculus, which everyone's talking about, you know, you really don't even – you might have a virtual meeting in cyberspace. You might meet downtown in an office building, or you could meet at a coffee place. You might also keep an office at a satellite office group somewhere near where you live. And these places exist. Their ideas are in their infancy, but the seeds are there. And as the market begins to figure out what works best, as this stuff comes online faster and faster, then you're going to see major, major changes. And still, we're seeing substantial growth in the exurbs, especially among people thought most likely to live in the downtown inner cities. Joel Kotkin has been writing about this, and it's true that you're seeing certainly people are moving into the cities, but they're also moving into the exurbs and the burbs. And while, again, these trends are very new, when and if they really get going, things are going to change pretty drastically. And with 64% of the people eligible to work out of the labor force, the idea of 5% unemployment is a joke. We have the highest number of people out of the workforce in 40 years that we've had in 40 years. And the jobs being created are in the most vulnerable areas of work. 47% of the jobs in the United States are vulnerable to new tech, specifically robotics. Many of the new jobs are in high risk for replacement industry like manual or service jobs. It's now cost effective for companies to bring in robotics to replace workers in manufacturing and service industries. I've talked about that. It has been and it will be cost effective for companies to replace workers with autonomous software, business advisors, HR duties, services, reception. Other kinds of technology like 3D printing and communication software are going to change the nature of work in ways we can't even imagine. Now, very quickly, let's talk about old tech and new tech. And let's talk about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. Why do I bring this up? Well, I'll tell you why. I bring it up because winter is coming. And as you know, winter causes a lot of problems with plumbing. It can cause problems with pipes that maybe are weak that you don't know about. And people's heating systems and water heaters, things of that nature, should be checked before it gets cold. And we have been certainly lucky in the Twin Cities in the last month or so because the weather has been fabulous, but it is going to get cold. Here's what you should do. If you can, I hate to say should, I don't want to should you, but it's true. Definitely have your heating system and your plumbing and your water heater checked before it gets cold. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs, too. They have been kicking around. You see their trucks everywhere. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. So it's worth it to have the heating and everything else checked if you have rental property or if you have an office, something of that nature. Also, remember Ryan for emergency service if you need it. I had a plumbing emergency at one point years and years ago, luckily I was able to get the water turned off. I didn't even know where the water turnoff was, and I had this house, and I had a huge problem, and I didn't even know who to call. Well, now you know. Call Ryan, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. As I said, Metro wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. And as long as we're talking about tech, when they come to check your heating, ask them about smart tech. If you do a smart tech upgrade, I will tell you it's not cheap, but if you do a smart tech upgrade, and if you haven't upgraded your heating system in the last 5 years or so, smart tech can save you a lot of money over the next 5 years. So it's worth checking into. So ask those guys about smart tech. Again, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, and thanks Greg Ryan for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Okay, I was talking about old tech, and I was talking about the people being displaced and 64% of the workforce being idled, even though unemployment, at least the unemployment that we hear about in the headlines, is calculated on the number of people looking for jobs. Our unemployment is not 5%. It's probably closer to the 10% if you calculate. It's actually more than that if you calculate in all the people who have essentially been idled and are out of the workforce. And so we have old systems and new systems still functioning in society. Here's an example. Where you see a reliance or a desire to hang on to the old systems, you see problems. In Minneapolis, civil rights attorneys are suing Minneapolis schools for failing to educate minorities. City of Minneapolis schools have a terrible graduation rate, not to mention the number of students moving on to college. Minnesota spends something like $17 billion on education, according to the state, and that's probably low for the 2016 and 2017 biennium. It's well known that if you want your kids to be successful, don't send them to public schools. And people in all parts of the neighborhood and all walks of life know that, and they want to send their kids to schools that work. The public school system is widely recognized as an archaic structure that is not dissimilar to Amtrak or the post office, which don't work very well. And this isn't provided as an example to attack teachers or the administrators, but clearly the old way is becoming less and less effective and efficient at educating people. There are even questions about the money spent for higher education at the state level and the quality of that education as well. And you're carrying the most effective tool for education the world has probably ever seen, the smartphone, which is only going to get smarter. And yet this technology has not been fully applied at all to education. And I would just say, why not? I mean, that's one of the areas of opportunity. Then you look at medicine, all kinds of designer drugs and procedures being developed, from robotic surgeries to a new development of an ability to genetically alter or edit genes with off-the-shelf technology, which now has cured a baby of potentially fatal leukemia in the United Kingdom, and everybody is gaga about it. All of these new technologies have a major impact. And as with the same kinds of movements in history, companies and individuals adapt and adopt new technologies rapidly. You know, we went from human and animal labor to steam, electricity, automobiles, flight, and the adaption of these technologies was very fast. Telephones, records, radio, film, and later television, automation systems, computers, and now digital. These kinds of technological developments really took place over a very short period of time, historically speaking. And here's the thing, and this is the thing that's really important, and this gets to this question of toughness. Those who recognize the need for and provide products and services like these, services and products that are components of new technology when the revolution is in progress and when it really starts to gather momentum, whenever that revolution occurs with whatever technology, will profit immensely. It's just a few of the many reasons why I think the new world will look nothing like the world we know. And just a few of the reasons why I think the changes are going to be rapid, confusing, and perhaps violent. And of course, you know, a metaphor for that, and one of the most popular shows on television is The Walking Dead. Another one is Game of Thrones. A lot of these shows and the plot lines in these shows are signs of struggle. You know, it seems to be a theme in a lot of creative work these days. And the best example is probably The Walking Dead, which, by the way, this season of The Walking Dead is probably the best that I've seen. It doesn't mean the show is envisioning a zombie war. That's not what it means. And there's all sorts of social theories about what it actually means. But it does mean that those who thrive in this new world will require skills for surviving that are highly evolved and different from the skills that helped you survive or thrive in the old, just like in the TV show. The people that can't adapt to the new reality get killed by the zombies. Something popped into my head tonight as I was getting ready to do this podcast, and it has to do with mental and physical toughness. And I thought, I want to do a whole podcast on toughness, and then I thought, really, I could go over it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, but it's tied into this sort of new world that we're creating. So here's some questions, and I say these as – I mean these really we. I'm going to say it as we, okay? How tough are we? How tough do we have to be? And what is tough? Well, tough, I looked it up. Tough is an adjective that describes something that is strong enough to withstand adverse conditions or rough and careless handling. Synonyms for tough are durable, strong, resilient, sturdy, rugged, solid, stout, long-lasting, heavy-duty, industrial strength, well-built, made to last, and so forth. Tough also describes an experience that involves considerable difficulty or hardship, requiring great determination or hardship. So the words for that, the synonyms would be arduous or onerous or strength, strenuous or grueling, exacting, difficult, demanding. You get the idea. Now, in my experience, I would have to say that tough doesn't have to look tough. Some of the toughest people that I've ever known do not look tough, but they can look tough. It doesn't mean that they don't look tough. Tough doesn't have to act tough. Some of the people who act tough aren't tough at all, but they might act tough and be tough. Tough doesn't mean hard or mean or cruel, but some tough people can be perceived as hard. One of the main characteristics of successful people that I've learned about is that they don't quit. They have something inside them that they can call on that somehow makes a difference. It's knowing that generally you are stronger than you think you are. It's knowing that sometimes in the last few meters of a race or the thing that you're doing, those last few meters or yards or feet are the hardest, the part that calls for the most effort. And toughness comes when you can deliver that effort at the very end when you have nothing left. And that sometimes when you think there's nothing left, you can summon, just as I said, that something additional to make it those last few yards, hours, minutes, miles, or feet. It's an ability to slow down time almost and get through it 1 minute at a time, or speed it up so that you don't notice the effort that you're actually exerting. It's having what it takes to be serious enough about surviving literally that you will do what it takes to make it. And I don't mean, you know, violate morals or to break law or anything else. It just means that you summon what it takes inside to succeed. You know, I love these shows on TV where people tell their survival stories. And one of the things that I've seen in common in those shows is that people decide at some point, I'm going to make it. They decide that they want to live for whatever reason. And sometimes, you know, when they make that decision to live, they're going to live with injuries or problems that will cause them difficulties the rest of their lives. But they don't give up. They decide that they're going to live, and they do. So the question then becomes, especially if we're going through this rough time, and I think, you know, when I have conversations with people all the time about the things that the media talks about, the election and, you know, the frustrations that people have with what's going on. And, you know, it's becoming obvious to me, and I've said this a few times, I've talked about this a few times, that we're living through a really, you know, somewhat difficult period of time. It's hard to know what kind of time you're living through in real time. We can look back and say, you know, the Depression was a bad time. We can look back and say, boy, the late 70s were rough for some people. But it's hard to tell whether the time that you're living through is that bad or worse or better for various reasons. So it's hard to tell. But I think we're living through an extraordinarily difficult period of time. Part of it is that, you know, I don't want to say things aren't as bad as they were in the Depression because I don't know. But I would say that – well, I guess I'd say because I've traveled enough, I can tell you that things weren't as bad and aren't as bad now as they were during the Depression. But at the same time – there are other things that are harder and more difficult because we don't quite know where we're going. We don't quite know who we are anymore as a people, even though it's there, it's beneath the surface. And it begs this question that I think we really need to answer, and I think we really need to think about it. And I think this is part of the yearning for real leadership that we have. And this is this question of how tough we are as a people. These changes coming, to me, are fascinating. In fact, I think they are fascinating, the abilities that we will have to do things we can't imagine now, to eradicate certain kinds of diseases, to being able to 3D print plane parts or machines or all sorts of things that we're going to be able to do, and all the kinds of products that we don't know that exist that will be created. See, I don't worry as much about jobs being, going away. Because how many jobs are there for typewriter repairmen today? And at one time, typewriter repairmen were everywhere, or TV repairmen were everywhere, and today they're not. But someday, there will be other kinds of jobs that people will do. In the meantime, the difficulties try our patience, not just our patience, but the patience of our leaders and the struggles that they have to try to govern through all this, because they don't know what they're doing either. I got news for you. Those guys in Washington aren't any smarter or better at it or more knowledgeable about anything going on in the world than any of us, especially collectively. They are just people trying to do their gig. They're not any smarter about what they need to do than we are. You know, think back to last week when I was struggling with the promise of technology and the reality of technology with the updates debacle and how much I was struggling with that. And in some cases, you tend to see technology rain on the parade or literally cancel the parade and ruin people's lives. People lose their jobs. They lose their careers. They find themselves unemployable, which I think is the worst thing. The worst thing you can do is take someone's work away from them, and then, you know, they can't seem to do anything to be able to replace the standard of living that they once had. It doesn't matter if they're a software engineer or if they worked at an industrial plant. But at the same time, there are opportunities that come along. And if we are tough enough, I think, you know, if we're tough enough, we can take advantage of them. And, you know, I read a lot of stories about how hard it is for people. We don't hear enough stories about people who are tough. And we hear too much about people that are hurting, and there are people hurting, and there are people in difficulty and downtrodden in the true sense of the word. But we aren't being encouraged to bear up and break through and go beyond what our endurance is and beyond what the norm is. Now, here's an example. If you do any kind of physical activity, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because before I started working out, I didn't know anything about this stuff. My passion for my work was enough to carry me through and to make me tough, but it was through fitness that I have learned to ignore pain, not the bad pain, but the kind of pain that comes from just being tired, to ignore fatigue, to not complain about stuff, to avoid negativity in all its forms, and push harder when I'm close to failing or at my wit's end. And I've learned you can adjust your thinking and you can adjust your paradigm where you think from and the platform that you think from. And it's amazing how much a person can change those parts of their psyche. And it has translated to a certain kind of toughness in my personal life. And I only hope that I am tough enough. And I'll give you another example. My mom is 93. You guys have heard me talk about her before, the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast. She broke her shoulder a couple of years ago, and she ended up coming back, going through all kinds of difficulty at the hospital and in rehab and everything else. And she told me that her shoulder that was wired up, rewired, they didn't have to replace it. They just rewired it. Is better than the other one. And she still goes to the gym and drives and still paints and sells jewelry and runs her little business. And I'd say that she doesn't look real tough, but she is about as tough as they come. And she's always had that kind of mental toughness. My sister, too, she's always had that kind of mental toughness and courage despite the difficulties that she's had. And we all have people in our lives and our families like that. We all have inspirational stories. We all have toughness in our past. And I think about the way things are today, and I think honestly, we have to get tough. We have to get tougher, and we have to stay tough. And sometimes when we feel like we can't go on, we have to reach down and get it and push through, because the good stuff is at the very end. So let's see what happens in the future, but stay tough. Well, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 435, sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Don't forget that smart tech stuff. It's really, really important. They can upgrade your heating and also check to make sure that everything is running right. And stick this number and name on your mind like a sticker that goes on your water heater, which they will probably stick on when they check. It's Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for emergency service this winter, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6277. 6488 metro wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And if somebody close to you or you yourself is looking for a house in the North Metro, in the North Metro corridor, you need someone who can help you negotiate the risk for these houses. And that, of course, would be Eric and Aram Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate, which is I just got a message from somebody on Facebook that listens to the Bob Davis podcast that said that Luke Team was awesome at customer service. Eric and Aram Lucera with prideofhomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and the North Metro Corridor. Real estate expertise. Eric and Aram Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com. 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, we're getting close to the spin cycle here, so I'm going to close this podcast. Thanks to the digital sponsor, the BobDavisPodcast.com, Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot, and I have pilots listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts, we want you to be safe on takeoffs and landings. That's why Alpha Systems sponsors the Bob Davis Podcast digital side. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. First of all, it's FAA approved. Second of all, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Get it into your avionics package today. You won't be sorry. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. We are going to be appearing soon in Google Play Music, which will have podcasts. They approved us, so we're plugged into that. And soon, you'll also be hearing a special show that I'm doing for the Genesis Communication Network, which will also be on the Westwood Satellite, and I'll tell you more about that in the future. Really appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, which is my favorite social media. And thanks for your donations at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. I don't care if it's $1 or $5 or $50 or $500. It is keeping Mobile Podcast Command on the road, and we really appreciate that. Getting ready for a big trip this winter, starting with the caucuses in Iowa, February 1st, and then on down through the Mid-South, South Carolina, and then to Florida. And maybe something in the near future, if something comes up that I think we need to cover. So really appreciate the donations and looking forward to those road trip podcasts. from the Bob Davis Podcasts this winter. Thanks for listening to Podcast 435. Stay tough. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah,